Good morning, everyone. Well, I guess it's afternoon, too. Let me just say happy Thursday, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for today, which is Thursday, January 16th, 2020. I'm reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. My name is Patsy Pukots. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm going to start by taking a look at today's weather and the headlines on the front page. According to the left-hand corner, there's a sunshine there, and it says we can expect sunny skies with a north wind of 5 to 8 miles per hour and wind chills as low as minus 15 degrees, with a high of 13 and a low of 7. But as we know, living in Iowa, those wind chills can get awfully, awfully cold. Also on the front page, we have... Jobs, school, and seaweed soup. This is about Manson Northwest Webster. And changing perceptions. Rutz settles in as reserve officer in Humboldt. We also have House leaders march Trump impeachment articles to the Senate. The Senate will become an impeachment court today. And acting Chief Justice, court independence a strength. And we probably won't read those because they're not local. So let's begin. All right, let's begin with the first one, which is jobs, school, and seaweed soup. Sounds interesting. Manson Northwest Webster students look at possible futures. And this is by Hans Mattson, and it's from Manson. Andy Fritz, human resources recruiter for CJ BioAmerica, had his work cut out for him during the annual career and college night at Manson Northwest Webster High School. Telling students and members of the community about the careers and education requirements for them at the plant west of Fort Dodge was easy enough. Giving away the samples of seaweed soup he brought along, not so easy. I've had one student take it, he said. I said, what do you have to lose? It's free. And he said, I'll try it. A second student, Paige Wilson, 15, came along and did take one of the ready-to-heat pouches. I haven't tried it, she said. Just try it, Fritz said. It's good. She did like the packaging. It's squishy, she said. Fritz informed the students that jobs... Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. Just a second. Fritz informed the students that jobs at the plant require different levels of education. High school is our minimum for most of our jobs, he said. Most administrative positions require a college degree. Jeff Anliker, the school counselor, said the career and college night meshes well with the school's mission to provide an educational experience geared to each student's planned career track. Some want to enter the workforce after graduation. Some are looking at two-year programs, and some will go on to four-year programs or even longer. We've had three students this year graduate early and go straight into the workforce, Anliker said. My hat is off to them. We want to see them succeed. Most of the employers and schools are within easy driving distance of Manson. We want to give them a look at what's available in the area, he said. One of the exhibitors can't offer any pay. It can, however, offer a chance to serve the community as a volunteer firefighter with the Manson Fire Department. Lieutenant Richard Hall said there's already one in the halls. The minimum age to join is 18. Many of the seniors have reached that age. We actually have one here in the high school, Hall said. We want to keep the next generation of volunteers going. He and fellow firefighter Josh Waller were giving the students a chance to see if they could put on the turnout gear. It required 1 minute. Dayton Snell, 17, gave it a try. He went over the limit, but not by much. I never thought about being a firefighter, he said. His planned career track is a high calling, though. I'm thinking of becoming a pilot, he said, a pilot or something electrical. Amber Danglisher, 15, is still undecided. I don't know yet, she said. Something with kids. I've talked to Iowa Central about their childhood education degree. Her friend Paige Kaufman, 16, is leaning toward a medical field. I think I want to be a vet, she said. And we have some pictures. We have one of Dayton Snell, who's a 17 and a junior, and he's trying to put on a set of turnout gear in 1 minute. This was during that career night, and it looks like he's got it done. He's got the hat on his head. And we also have one of just several students that are visiting with some of the schools and businesses during the annual college career night. And also one of Amber Dangelser, who is 15 and a sophomore, and she selects a pair of sunglasses, spinning the wheel at the Iowa Central Community College table during the College and Career Night Wednesday. And Megan Cruz is the college's work-based learning coordinator at the East Campus. That's a good idea to give the students a kind of look at what's in their future. All right, the other article on the front page that I'm going to read is Changing Perceptions. And this is by Chad Thompson, and this is out of Humboldt. Sometimes students, especially the younger ones, get scared when they see Officer Susan Rutz show up at their school wearing her badge and her duty belt. I've had a few students who've had that terrifying look when they saw me in school for the first time, she said. She became Humboldt's first resource officer in August of 2019. As part of her job, she visits each of the buildings in the Humboldt Community School District, including elementary, middle, and high school. The sometimes negative perception of police officers is something that Rutz is trying to change. It's important to be at the lower levels just to help get rid of that stigma, Rutz said. Working with younger kids to get some of that positive image back up. Most people's interaction with law enforcement is negative, so it's about giving them an opportunity to interact with law enforcement in a positive light. Rutz is also employed as an officer for the Humboldt Police Department. She began those duties 1 year ago. The city and the school district share Rutz's services and split the cost. Her salary is about $40,000. Having an officer staffed, even for smaller school districts like Humboldt, is just today's reality, according to Lori Westhoff, the principal at Humboldt High School. HHS has 486 students. The entire district is about 1,400 students. In this day and age of society, it's a good addition to any school district, Westhoff said. We didn't add the position because of things that were happening, but to build that relationship between police and students, to have someone else to help them. Rutz has enjoyed getting to know the students, and she often reminds them that she is a safe person they can go to if they have a concern. Part of her efforts is about building trust with them. Most of the kids I have interaction with, whether them coming to me for a crisis or me going to them for a situation, I have had continual contact with them, Rutz said. I want to be that safe person they can go to. If they are going to let themselves, there's a blurb there, or others, that's something I need to do a mandatory report on. If they hurt themselves or others, that's something I need to do a mandatory report on. Otherwise, I do try to keep their confidence and get them to feel good about what they are at and where they are at. Rutz's role is different than a teacher or an administrator's. I am not here for school discipline, she said. I am here if there is a law that has been broken. So far, Rutz said, she's written about 5 tickets. Vaping, alcohol use, and fighting are 3 of the most common infractions that can get a student in trouble. One reason that Rutz seems to be more common than it used to be in the number of students who avoid school altogether. Truancy, she said, that's not something I expected. I didn't grow up that way. My kids didn't grow up that way. Hopefully, we can get to a point where that becomes a second thought. Rutz plans to do her part by being a positive presence in the schools. I want to help students feel like this is a safe environment and want to be here, she said. Westhoff, who has led the high school for 16 years, said the district had entertained the idea of adding a school resource officer for a few years, but it took a while for the right candidate to emerge. Mark Rutz, a former Webster County Reserve officer, fit what the district was looking for. According to her, she was able to learn skills from experienced Fort Dodge police officers like Jolene Johnson and Bryce Presswood. Johnson and Presswood each have worked extensively in the Fort Dodge schools. "I feel like that reserve position really prepared me for this," Rutz said. "Being a reserve helped a tremendous amount, and the people I worked with down there helped me. I learned a ton." So far, Westhoff likes what she sees. "It's been great watching her interact with the students in the halls and at lunch," Westhoff said. "She's a very approachable person. Students will go to her with questions." Rutz does not have an office in the high school, but she spends most of her time in the field. "Her main office is here at the high school, but she's hardly ever in it," Westhoff said. "The students do seek her out. From an administrative perspective, it's nice to have another set of eyes, someone to check doors. Just an extra set of eyes is helpful." Another aspect to Rutz's job is education. In February, Rutz will be learning drug abuse resistance education to help prevent the use of controlled drugs and violent behavior in the schools. Rutz also has experience working for the city of Humboldt as a recreation director, and she said that this has helped her become a familiar face. "Her new job is going well," she said. "I have told people I probably have the best job in the community right now. I get to work closely with the students and build those relationships in the community with the young people." And we have two pictures. One is of her with some elementary students, and one of them is with some high school students. So she has a very interesting job. All right, so on to page 2A. From our files corner, we have a picture of Todd Lyon, who is being welcomed home by family and friends in Rockwell City. Lyon had just returned from his second tour of duty in Iraq, and he's shown here with his 4-year-old son, Michael, who would be 19 now. I wonder if Michael will see that today. In the Messenger poll, the question for the week is, are you concerned about the possibility of a war with Iran? If you are or aren't, and you want to reply to that, you can go to www.messengernews.net. And remember, the Messenger poll is updated weekly, and the answers and new questions are published on Sundays. So you'll have to wait till Sunday to see what everybody thinks. And on this date in history, today is Thursday, January 16th, the 16th day of 2020, and there are 350 days left in the year. The highlight for today happened on January 16th, 1991, when the White House announced the start of Operation Desert Storm to drive Iraqi forces out of Kuwait, and Allied forces prevailed on February 28th, 1991. Also on this date, in 1865, Union Major General William T. Sherman decreed that 400,000 acres of land in the South would be divided into 40-acre lots and given to former slaves. The order, later revoked by President Andrew Johnson, is believed to have inspired the expression, 40 acres and a mule. In 1920, Prohibition began in the United States as the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution took effect, 1 year to the day after its ratification. It was later repealed by the 21st Amendment. In 1978, NASA named 35 candidates to fly on the space shuttle, including Sally K. Ride, who became America's first woman in space, and Guyon S. Bluford, Jr., who became America's first black astronaut in space. In 1987, Hu Yaobang resigned as head of China's Communist Party, declaring he'd made mistakes in dealing with student turmoil and intellectual challenges to the system. In 2003, the space shuttle Columbia blasted off for what turned out to be its last flight. On board was Israel's first astronaut, Ilan Ramon. The mission ended in tragedy on February 1st when the shuttle broke up during the return descent, killing all seven crew members. Don't remember that. 10 years ago, as precious water and food began reaching parched and hungry earthquake survivors on the streets of Haiti's ruined capital, Port-au-Prince, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton met with Haitian President René Préval and promised that U.S. quake and relief efforts would be closely coordinated with local officials. Also in 2007, Senator Barack Obama, a Democrat from Illinois, launched his successful bid for the White House. I missed that one, I'm sorry. 5 years ago, anti-terrorism raids across Europe netted dozens of suspects as authorities rushed to thwart more attacks by people with links to Mid-East Islamic extremists. 1 year ago, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked President Donald Trump to postpone his scheduled January 29th State of the Union speech, citing concerns about whether the partially shuttered government could provide adequate security. Republicans said the move was a ploy to deny Trump the stage. Trump delivered the speech a week later than scheduled. And our thought for today: I have noticed that the people who are late are often so much jollier than the people who have to wait for them. And that is E.V. Lucas, who was an English writer and publisher, and he lived from 1868 to 1938. All right, let's go on to our community calendar. Trinity Regional Hospital Retirees Coffee is at 9 a.m. at Hy-Vee. The Blander Memorial Art Museum is open today from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is located at 920 3rd Avenue South, and admission is free. Centel Frontier Retirees and Auxiliary Luncheon will be held at 11:30 a.m. at the Peking Garden. That's at 2510 5th Avenue South. A Webster County Genealogical Society is from noon till 3 p.m. at the Fort Dodge Public Library at 424 Central Avenue, room 134. And the noon Sertoma Club will be at the Pizza Ranch, at noon. The AA Alano Club is at noon and 7 p.m. at 12 North 7th Street in Humboldt, with the Rotary. I'm sorry, something's blinking and I can't figure it out. The AA Alano Club meets at noon and 7 p.m. at 12 North 7th Street, and the Humboldt Rotary Club will meet at noon at the family table that's on Highway 169 north of Humboldt. The Alzheimer's Support Group meets from 4 to 5 p.m. in Webster City at the Fuller Hall Sampson Room, and Al-Anon Thursday Night AFG Book Study at the Alano Club, which is, where are we at here? 6 p.m. at 12 North 7th Street. AA, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in Webster City at Trinity Lutheran Church. There's bingo at 6:30 p.m. at the Opera House, Fort Museum, and Frontier Village. That's at 1 Museum Road. The doors open at 5 p.m. with the early birds starting at 6:30 p.m. Divorce care at 6:30 p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church at 211 South 9th Street. Corn Belt Chorus Barbershop Harmony Practice at 7 p.m. at the United Methodist Church. That's at 201 East Nebraska Street in Algona. AA meets at 7 p.m. at the Lake City Union Church at West Main Street in Lake City. The Lizard Creek Blues Society is at 7 p.m. at 621 North 18th Street. The Fort Dodge Kennel Club is at 7 p.m. at the club building. That's 210 10th Street Northwest. The public is welcome. Board meetings at 6:30 p.m. during the odd months, and January would be an odd month. NA 7 to 8 p.m. at the Shalom Center. That's at 501 North 12th Street. Okay. Oh, and we have a correction. Due to incorrect information provided to the messenger, some of Fort Dodge resident Sherry Washington's roles were not listed properly in an item that appeared in Wednesday's edition of the messenger. Washington has the president's role in the prospective Fort Dodge NAACP chapter that is in the process of being established. She is also a member of the 2nd Judicial District Community-Based Correction Advisory Committee. She is additionally a member, trustee, and mission director at Second Baptist Church, while also helping at Coppin Chapel AME Church. Okay, and our opinion, our editorial for the day. Lady is a valuable asset to the students at Manson Northwest Webster. New therapy dog reduces the stress at school. And I believe I got to read about Lady last week when I was here. Students in the Manson Northwest Webster Community School District have a new source of support for those days when homework, tests, and just about everything else seems overwhelming. Lady is ready to help them on those days. Lady doesn't come to the job with a wall full of degrees and diplomas, although she does have special training. But the secret to her success is simply interacting with kids the way any friendly, loving dog does. She is a year and a half old golden doodle who is the school district's first therapy dog. This is her first year on the job. She was donated to the school district by Manson Police Chief Gerald Frick after his dog had puppies. I'd much rather have a student addicted to petting the dog than a student addicted to nicotine inhalers, Frick told the Messenger. Lady was initially trained at Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Oakdale. Then she had more training at Nalmark Kennels and Training Academy in Iowa City. She now lives with Allison Davis, the district's business manager. Her veterinary care is still provided by Dr. Steve Leppertorf of Manson Veterinary Clinic, Nestle Purina Pet Care, which has a facility in Fort Dodge, will provide Lady's food until she retires. So far, Lady has been a hit. We have seen the impact Lady has had in her early stages here at Manson Northwest Webster, and I cannot wait to get her into the building more frequently, said Kevin Wood, the junior and senior high principal. Being a therapy dog and bringing a therapy dog into the schools is an innovative program that required lots of work and planning. We thank Gerald Frick, the school district's leadership, Dr. Steve Leppertorf, and the Purina Pet Care for making this possible. Well, good. I'm glad she's a hit. It's kind of a cute cartoon today, the political cartoon. A mother and her son are at the table having a lunch or supper, and he's handing her his plate. And she's reading an article that says, Aussies drop tons of vegetables to animals stranded by the fires. And she's saying to her son, it's nice of you to volunteer your peas and carrots, but no. We have one letter to the editor. Says fireman comforted her. I went to Hy-Vee on January 10th, picked up a few things, and left to the parking lot, pushing a cart about 2:35 p.m. I was walking down the car lane over on the pharmacy side when out of nowhere a white new truck backed up within inches of me, hit the cart, and took it out of my hands. I jumped back in time, but still feeling the effects from sudden movement. The truck, of course, didn't stop. I was so worried about getting out of the way, I didn't even look for the license. There was a Vincent fireman walking behind me who saw it. He immediately asked me if I was okay. I thought I was and said so, but then stopped my card holder on the other side of where the truck was. My heart was beating so hard. The fireman came up and started talking to me. He asked if I knew who Bruce Springsteen was, then proceeded to tell a story about one of his songs based on his life experience. The story had the intended effect. It took my mind off what had just happened. I thanked him for taking the time to talk to me. It really helped me get home. Please, whether you're young, middle age, or older, please, please, please take time to look. Apparently, backup cameras don't work in everything. This scared the life out of me. Also, I would like to thank the Vincent firemen for assisting me. It was truly appreciated. And that was Rosita Boland of Fort Dodge. And she's right. Sometimes it is kind of a zoo out there. Also, if you are interested in writing a letter to the editor, it should be 400 words or less, and it must be the original work of the author. The paper reserves the right to edit the length, taste, and possible libel, as well as personal attacks and inflammatory statements about groups or individuals. Your letter must be signed and list the writer's town, and also include your phone number. These will not be published, or the phone number will not be published, but it's needed for verification. And you must wait 30 days from the publication of one letter before submitting another letter. Strong priority will be given to letters submitted by authors living within the Messenger's curriculum area, but letters submitted from other states form letters from other states will not be considered. Letters submitted on behalf of groups or organizations need to have an individual author's signature, and letters addressing problems with specific businesses will not be published. Okay, let's see, we're not quite ready for the obituaries, so I think I will read, where am I at here? I'll read one of the articles from the sports page. Let's go to the Tritons. The Iowa Central men's basketball team placed five players in double figures as they cruised to a 92-68 victory over Little Priest Tribal on Wednesday night. The Tritons, 7-10 overall, 2-2 ICCAC, won their second straight league contest behind a strong opening first half and a solid defensive performance. Iowa Central built a 49-28 first half lead by 24-11 outburst in the first 8 minutes of play. The Tritons used a balanced scoring attack in the opening half. In the first half, we were moving the ball around well, said Iowa Central head coach Chad Helley. I think the first half we played unselfish basketball, but in the second half we let off the gas. Yavante Keck, Marquis Henry, and St. Edmund graduate Andrew Gibb, Keck 13 and Henry 10, reached double digits in the first 20 minutes while Gibb had 9. The Tritons were 17 for 29 in the first half, 58%, and finished 35-60%. Let me get to page 3 here. Here we go. Keck and Gibb went on to finish with 17 points to lead the Tritons. Henry finished with 15 points, while Zach Folks and DeMonte Gaw came off the bench to score 15 and 12 points, respectively. The Warriors, 4-10 and 0-4, had three players in double digits. Little Peace Tribal put a little scare into the Tritons in the second half, scoring the first 6 points, cutting a 21-point lead down to 15. On defense, the Warriors switched to a full-court press to try to force the Tritons into turnovers. Iowa Central had no trouble with the advantage, going on a 21-12 run. I think we did a good job with their full-court press, Helley said. It's nice to be able to work on those things with a big lead. It's also good to see it because we can't simulate it in practice. We were able to react to it and get the ball to the middle of the court and work our offense from there. Iowa Central is back in action when they host third-ranked DMAC at 3 p.m. on Dennis Pilcher Court as part of the women's and men's doubleheader. Okay. And this is the other part. When the Iowa Central women got in trouble against Little Priest Tribal, it was Mardija Cross who came through in the clutch inside Hodges Fieldhouse on Wednesday night. The Tritons, 11-7 overall and 3-2 ICCAC. Sophomore didn't lead the Tritons in a scoring, but her all-around play gave the Iowa Central an 84-70 victory over the Warriors. Cross finished the contest with a triple-double. She had 10 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. When the contest got close, it was across who either found the open player or made a big shot. When we needed to make a play, she did it, said Iowa Central head coach Kelly Kruger. She has the ability to get to the rim and can distribute the ball. We put her on Liam Amaya, who scored 29 points in a conference game the other night, and she did a good job on her defensively. She also has the ability to shoot the ball. Iowa Central, who is currently third in the league, in league race behind top-ranked Kirkwood and fifth-ranked Nyack, didn't pull away until late in the fourth quarter. The Tritons started the final quarter with a 61-53 lead, but the Warriors cut it to 62-60 before Cross and Isabel West took over. Cross and West scored 16 of Iowa Central's 23 points in the fourth quarter. At one point, the two outscored the Warriors 11-5. Iowa Central is back in action on Saturday when they host DMAC at 1 p.m. at Dennis Pilcher Court, just like the men. All right, get the rest of my act together here. You are listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the blind and print disabled. The Messenger can be heard daily at 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other IRIS program, give us a call at 515-243-6833. And now I'm going to read today's obituaries. And the first one is Pauline M. McIntyre. Pauline M. McIntyre, 86, of Fort Dodge, passed away Tuesday, January 14th, at the Mary Greeley Medical Center in Ames. Funeral services will be held on Friday, January 18th, at 2 p.m. at the Marion Home Chapel, with the Reverend Brian Fellers officiating the Mass of Christian Burial. Burial will take place at Corpus Christi Cemetery. Visitation will be on Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Marion Home Chapel. She is survived by her niece, Connie, and husband, Dean Strunberg of Duncombe, her nephew, Paul Dunn of Jewell, and one great-niece, three great-nephews, and two great-great-nieces. Excuse me. She was preceded in death by her parents, William and Bernice Burke McIntyre, her sisters, Helen McIntyre and Judith Dunn, and her brother, Howard. Pauline M. McIntyre was born August 27, 1933, in Fort Dodge, Iowa. She was raised and educated in Fort Dodge. Pauline was a longtime foster grandparent at St. Edmund School. She was a member of Holy Trinity Parish, and for many years she was a resident at the Marion Home. Loffesweiler Seaver's Funeral Home is serving the family. Memorials may be left to the discretion of the family. And again, that is Pauline M. McIntyre. Evelyn Lynn Herman. This is from Albert City. Evelyn Lynn Herman, 88, of Albert City, Iowa, formerly of Fort Dodge, passed away on Tuesday, January 14th, at the Pleasant View Home in Albert City. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, January 19th, at the Fulton Lutheran Church, Rolin. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. until the time of the service on Sunday at Fulton Lutheran Church, Rolin. Burial will be in the Fulton Lutheran Cemetery. That was Evelyn Lynn Herman. Esther Dupay Sickman, it's D-U-P-E-Y. Esther Dupay Sickman, 103, of Fort Dodge, died Wednesday, January 15th, at the Simpson Health Center of Friendship Haven. Arrangements have been entrusted to Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. And that's Esther Dupay Sickman. Carol Marie Threlkfeld Thompson from Britt. Memorial Mass will be at 11 a.m. Monday at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Britt, with visitation at 9:30 a.m. Monday at the church. And that was Carol Marie Threlkeld was her maiden name, and Thompson must have been her married name. Also at Gunderson, we have Verna Gray at 11 a.m. Thursday at the Crossway Evangelical Church. The visitation is from 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday at Crossway Evangelical Free Church. And that is at Gunderson's Funeral Home. And at Laufeswiler Seaver's Funeral Home, we have Joanne Thill, who is 44, Funeral Friday at 10 a.m. at Laufeswiler Funeral Home and at 10:30 a.m. at Corpus Christi Church. The visitation is today from 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. And then Pauline McIntyre, who I just read about, her funeral again is Friday at 2 p.m. at the Marion Home Chapel, and the visitation would be 1 hour prior to the funeral at the Marion Home. And we also have Mary Ann Niles, who is 86. Her funeral is Saturday at 10 a.m. at Laufeswiler Funeral Home, and then at 10:30 a.m. at Corpus Christi Church. A visitation is Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. at Laufeswiler Funeral Home, and a vigil prayer service is at 7 p.m. Those are the obituaries for today. All right, let me go back to the sports page here, and we'll look in on the Jaguars. This is by Dana Becker. This is out of Gowrie. Chemistry, trust, and confidence have helped the Southeast Valley boys put together an incredible start to this season. 2 years removed from winning just four games, the Jaguars find themselves as one of just 15 teams in the Class 2A with either one or zero losses. Southeast Valley's 11-1 overall, 4-0 in Twin Lakes Conference roster features six seniors, four of who are on that 2017-18 team that went just 4-19. One of the biggest reasons for their success is our team chemistry, said Carter Lane, one of those senior leaders. We know that night in and night out, we can trust each other. That allows us to play with a confidence that's hard to match. Lane, a 6'1" point guard, averages 9.3 points per game and leads the team in both assists, 63, and steals, 45. He has a 4-1 assist to turnover ratio while directing an offense averaging 62.5 points per night. Southeast Valley also features a dynamic inside-outside combination in University of Iowa football recruit Aaron Graves and sharpshooter Colson Cruz. Graves, who stands 6'4", leads the team at 16.6 points per night and has grabbed 69 rebounds with 30 assists, 14 steals, and 8 blocks. Cruz, a sophomore like Graves, has a team-high 35 made three-pointers and is averaging 15.7 points with 41 steals, 33 rebounds, and 22 assists. Hunter Cruz, another senior, averages 7.3 points with 27 assists and 19 steals, with classmate Lincoln Miller chipping in five with 63 boards, 24 assists, and 11 steals. Two more seniors, Robert Jepson and Chase Sweeter, have scored 108 total points on the season and grabbed 107 rebounds, with Sweeter recording a team high of 18 blocks. Sorry, on another page here. Like his fellow 12th graders, Lane has taken this on this season with a different approach. Being a senior, I've tried to take everything one game at a time, he said. I know that nothing is guaranteed, so I go out and play every game like it's my last. Southeast Valley doubled its win total last year from 4 to 8 games, a number they surpassed earlier this month in a victory with Alta Aurelia. They are averaging almost 72 points per game in the league shooting, a conference best of 44% from the three-point line. The Jaguars have gone 7-0 on the road this year, a mark that will be tested with dates at fellow TLC contenders Newell Fonda and South Central Calhoun in the coming weeks. It feels amazing to be in the position we are right now, Lane said. We haven't had a lot of success in the last 2 years, and nobody expected us to play at the level we're playing at this season. We knew people were going to doubt us from the start of the season, and we play every night like we have something to prove. To be on top of the conference is a great feeling, to say the least. Up first, though, Southeast Valley hosts Sioux Central Friday night. Well, go boys, Jaguars. Okay, and then we also have, ouch, Cats passed, rally past Titans. This is Humboldt. The Humboldt girls used a big fourth quarter to rally back against South Central Calhoun here Tuesday night, posting a 38-30 victory. The Wildcats outscored the Titans 17-5 in the final 8 minutes, erasing a four-point deficit. Kendall Clark led the way for Humboldt with a 10 points and 5 steals, adding 6 rebounds. Maddie Lang scored 8 points and had 6 boards, with Bay Arnold chipping in 7 and Lily Grote 6 off the bench. Jada Hoffer and Jury Hajek all had 6 rebounds each. For the Titans, Emma McKinney scored 10 points and Brielle Korleski added 9, and Riley Batta had 7 points and 7 rebounds for hosts Alta Aurelia Friday night. Also from Gowrie, behind a big third quarter, the Clareton Goldfield Dalles girls earned their 7th straight victory, downing Southeast Valley here Tuesday night 53-31. The Cowgirls led 6-2 after the first and pushed their advantage to 17-9 at the break. Clarion Goldfield Dalles broke the game open by outscoring the Jaguars 19-10 in the third quarter. Next action for the Cowgirls will be a meeting with Algona on Friday night at home. Southeast Valley heads to Sioux Central that night. And the staff at Iowa Wrestle has produced a second set of girls high school wrestling ratings. Each weight class featured 9 individuals, and Fort Dodge's Alexis Ross is third at 132 pounds. The Dodger freshman is behind junior Abby McIntyre of Glenwood and sophomore Anika Behrens from Waverly Shell Rock. Humboldt's Kendall Clark and Tia Woerste, W-O-E-S-T-E, are ranked along with Algona's Maddie McPeak. Clark is 8th at 170 pounds, and the other is 9th at 195, with McPeak at 285. The second annual IWCOA Girls State Wrestling Tournament is set for January 24th, 25th in Waverly. Didn't know there was one. Okay. Go to the Hot Corner. I'm sure you've all been waiting for this. This is Thursday, January 16th. And also on this date nationally, in 1972, the Dallas Cowboys dominated the Miami Dolphins, setting a Super Bowl record of 252 yards, rushing en route to a 24-3 victory. In 1974, Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mantle was elected in his first year of eligibility and Ford in his second year. In 1993, Michael Jordan scored 64 points, but Chicago was upended in an overtime by visiting Orlando 128-124. The Magic were led by rookie center Shaquille O'Neal, who had 29 points, 24 rebounds. And now Hawks insurance. In the year 2000, in the first home playoff game in St. Louis's 33rd season NFL history, the Rams showed their entire repertoire in routing the Minnesota Vikings 49-37. Kurt Warner finished 27 for 33 and set the team playoff record for yards passing 391 and touchdown throws 5. The Vikings scored 3 desperate touchdowns in the dying moments, making it the second highest scoring playoff game in NFL history. And in 2011, the New York Jets stunned the New England Patriots 28-21. The Patriots, who had the league's best record during the season, suffered their third straight postseason loss. So there we have that. Now, it's a minute, I have to put something off the floor. Here we are. All right, I'm going to read some of the financial because I'll be honest, there isn't much in the paper today. Holiday season boost. Economists expect that U.S. retail sales increased last month. They predict the Commerce Department will report today that sales rose 0.3% in December, up from a gain of 0.2% in November. A strong economy and job market has helped keep consumers in a spending mood ahead of the holiday shopping season, though discounters have fared better than mall-based department stores. And also, a key measure of U.S. home builders' confidence in the housing market is due out today, but the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index climbed to 76 last month, the highest reading since June of 1999. Readings above 50 indicate positive sentiment about the housing market. The latest gain reflects broad optimism among the builders that new home sales will climb in the coming months. And wouldn't that be nice? And here we go. For Dear Annie, Dear Annie, though your answer to craving kicks was good, I think it was slightly incomplete. She said she felt completely free, present, and powerful when the second of her first soccer goal, and indeed recalling those feelings, when she scored her first soccer goal, and was indeed recalling those feelings. But I submit that any endeavor also has the potential to give those exact feelings of freedom, power, and presentness when it is pursued with practice and then success is achieved. It depends on the intensity of the pursuit, the amount of the focus and practice, and how crowd-pleasing accomplishments are. It does not have to be soccer. Successful professionals in all sports and other endeavors, music, acting, academics, experience the same power, freedom, and presentness, which come from concentration and focus. This makes me wish I had practiced the piano more. And that's Kathy from Virginia Beach. And Annie says, Dear Kathy, in Virginia Beach, I'm printing your letter because I agree completely. Great points, and it's never too late. Go tickle those ivories. And the funny for the day is from Baby Blues. The mother is on the phone and she says, What? Yes, Mom, the kids got your gifts. And then in the last frame, you have the poor mother. She's got her hands in her ears. And her older daughter is playing a trumpet. Her son is playing the bongos. And her youngest daughter is playing the xylophone. And she says to her mother, You're still getting even with me for my junior high years, aren't you? I thought that one was kind of cute. All right. Just a minute. I'm sorry. Here we go. I have to find... They put the... Just a second here. I'm sorry. Oh, here it is. Okay. They put the police court on a different page and they confused me. I'm sorry. They put it on page 3 instead of the back. Okay. The magistrate court for today. This is Webster County, Wednesday. Driving under suspension, Micah Isaac Aiden, 19, of Humboldt, $397.50, and Anthony Michael Lawson, 49, of 328 Avenue East, $397.50, and Akasha Blanchet Lambert, 17, of 916 13th Street Southwest, $397.50. So that must be the going rate for driving under suspension. Reckless driving. Here we have Akasha Blanchet again, and it'll be $195 for that one. And she also left the scene of an accident, and that's another $195. And she had failure to maintain traffic control device, and that's another $195. Possession of... Oh, here we go again. She also had possession of alcohol by a minor, and that... She has a court date set for February 12th to take care of that. No insurance in an accident. Heidi Lynn Minich, 42. She lives at 1008 South 18th Street, and that's $735. In possession of drug paraphernalia, Trevor Lee Martin, 26. There is no address given, and that's continued to Friday. and fifth-degree theft, William Charles Goddard, Jr., who is 31. He lives at 423 3rd Street Northwest, and his preliminary hearing is set for January 31st. In violation of parole, Dion Scott Miller, 42, 916 South 22nd Street, and that's to be continued. And also in Fort Dodge, on Tuesday we had 3 domestic calls that were reported. A hit-and-run was reported in the 2900 block of 5th Avenue South. Trespassing was reported in the 3200 block of 5th Avenue South. A fire was reported in the 300 block of North 26th Place. Theft was reported in the 2500 block of 7th Avenue South. Criminal mischief was reported in the 100 block of North 10th Street. Also, criminal mischief was reported in the 200 block of North 14th Street. Counterfeiting was reported in the 3000 block of 5th Avenue South. A burglary was reported in the 400 block of North 2nd Street. Harassment was reported in the 10 block of North 14th Street and also reported in the 100 block of North 10th Street. So that's your police log for today. And I am going to go. Oops, excuse me. Didn't mean to hit that. I'm going to go to an article that is in the Business Connection that I think was interesting. This month they're talking about people who came back to Fort Dodge. And this is Dennis Plotz's article. There's no place like home. To attract and retain a workforce that matches the needs of our existing industry and future industries, workforce has been the largest challenge to growth not only in Fort Dodge but also in Iowa and the Midwest. At any given time, there are well over 700 job openings in Webster County, with an unemployment rate of 3.5%, which equates to approximately 850 people. We know that to be competitive, we have to be able to demonstrate that we can attract a qualified workforce and retain them. The Growth Alliance conducted a survey in September asking people who moved to Fort Dodge or the region within the last 5 to 7 years a series of questions. To no surprise, we found that several moved back for family or friends, and more importantly, they have a propensity to stay. We have decided to take advantage of the holidays enlist families and friends to help recruit people to come back to Fort Dodge or the region to live. We are calling it There's No Place Like Home campaign. There will be posters, table tents, social media posts, etc. throughout November and December. There are obviously numerous reasons for friends and family to move back to the region. A few that you will see highlighted in the campaign are: there's a short commute, recreation, low cost of living, eateries, breweries and wineries, family and friends, sporting outlets, art and of course great jobs. Encourage your friends and family to check at our website for jobs that are available in the region, as well as things to do while they are back for the holidays. You can go to www.greaterfortdodge.com/careers. The Growth Alliance has an extensive list of people who make hiring decisions in the region. If you know someone interested in moving back, send their resume to Telly Halstead at the Growth Alliance. And I have time here to talk about at least one or two of these people that came back. And one of them was Ryan Mayle, who's the Assistant Director of Parks and Recreation. And you see his name in the paper all the time. He's doing a fantastic job, so kudos to us for getting him back. After career stops that included both rural Iowa and the faster-paced city life, my wife and I settled back in Fort Dodge. The irony was prevalent and acknowledged by us both. We went out looking for just the right place to live and raise our future family and found it back where we started. Through our now adult eyes, our childhood home and the perfect mixture of the small-town feel we craved but retained opportunities of a metro area. We knew there was no place like home. To our surprise, home had evolved from our memories. Fort Dodge had been changing, progressing, improving. Since our return, the place we remembered from childhood is even better. Or we finally realized the truly important things that are not always tangible, but are feelings of hometown pride, community, and a sense of camaraderie. We are proud to live in Fort Dodge and raise our family near family and friends and in the area that was so special to us both. And that, again, was Ryan Mail. And we also have Orlando Peace. My wife, daughter, and I were living in Northern California on the Oregon border when my daughter turned 5 years old. Thanksgiving goes by, then Christmas, and then New Year's, going through the holidays and important life events with just 3 members of our family was not how we wanted to spend our lives. We moved back to Fort Dodge because our daughter, and a child on the way, deserved to know their family, and we found much more. After moving back, I joined the fire service and gained a family there. My wife opened a business, the Wellness Project, where she also gained a family filled with people from all walks of life. These connections have been given both of us a chance to immerse ourselves in the community like we hadn't before. Moving back to Fort Dodge gave us a better opportunity to pursue our dreams and make them a reality. And that's Orlando Peace, who is a firefighter and a Fort Dodge fire rescue person. And there are more. I'll leave it here. Maybe somebody else can read others because we're coming close to the end here, gang. All right, we'll look at the weather. Today, it is sunny with a high around 13, a low around 7, and a wind from the north 5 to 8. Tomorrow, I'm sorry, we've got those clouds with the snowflakes coming down. The high should be 31 and the low 15. And Saturday, there are still clouds, but no snowflakes. Mostly cloudy, highs 22 and low minus 7. Oh, I guess, ooh. Sunday, there's a sunshine with mostly high around 5 and low around minus 6. Monday and Tuesday, we have the sun. Monday is high around 5 and low around minus 11. And Tuesday is high around 14 and low around 8. And Wednesday, we're partly sunny with a high around 30 and a low around 24. Yesterday's high was 24. The low was minus 4. I'm sorry. And last year's high was 25. And last year's low was 21. And the average, let me see, what else we got here? 24-hour, we didn't have any precipitation at all. We have 0.63 inches. And that's for the whole month. Here's the sunset today will be at 5:09 and sunrise tomorrow is 7:43. Those are getting, so the days are getting longer, you know. Isn't that nice? Okay, now let me get my stuff organized here. Here we go. Down to the bottom. Okay, this brings us to the end of reading of today's Fort Dodge Messenger. I thank the folks at Friendship Haven for giving Iris a home in Fort Dodge, and I thank you for listening to Iris, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Wishing you all a dream to bless and a star to guide. And have a good day. This is Patsy signing out.